Back to the Tennessee Star Report with your hosts, Michael Patrick Leahy.
And good morning, 7:33 a.m. here on the Tennessee Star Report. We are joined now by our good friend, Jeff Webb, Memphis entrepreneur, founder of Varsity Brands, inventor really of the cheerleading industry as we know it today, and also just started a great political organization, American Populist. Jeff, yesterday you had an op-ed in the Washington Times, very interesting. You say Congress should okay a one-time $3,000 cash payment to every American. Explain why you think that's a good idea.
Good morning, Mike. Everybody, the Congress, the president, the administration, everybody's wrestling with how much money to get to our citizens now in light of the existing crisis, and how to do it, who's going to qualify, and so on. To me, there are two things that are of primary importance here, and this is why my proposal, I think, gets that in front of theirs, is more bold, but I think will be more effective. And that is the amount of the money and the timing. We have not seen a crisis like this, certainly in my lifetime, and there are so many people. I know with our own company, there are just so many people that are concerned about what's going to happen. They're concerned about what's going to happen to their family. There are so many people in many of our industries that are already laid off. And, over 40% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, 40%. And they don't have a savings, unfortunately, to address the situation like we have now and make up for the income they're going to be losing. And there's so much anxiety. And I think that anxiety also exacerbates things. What I've done is say, John Carney, Breitbart, a few days ago, came up with the idea of taking the $1,000 per month that the idea he got from Andrew Yang, and paying $1,000 a month to every single American, that's man, woman, and child, every month for as long as the crisis is with us. To me, as a business guy, I've always looked, when we have a crisis, when we have an opportunity to make a difference in efficiency or delivery or whatever, the best thing to do, rather than try to just have some capital spending now, some capital spending next year, is to front load it. If you want the benefit, go on and spend the money now. And so that's what my proposal has done.
And it's also, I think, you made a very interesting argument here that you call this not a bailout, but it's a temporary income replacement. And the cause of the loss of that income is governmental action.
Well, that's exactly right. These are not companies businesses where people are unemployed, where the company itself and the people that work for it for some reason were part of the demise of the company. This has been mandated by the federal government, state government, sometimes the local government. So government has made this happen. Now we can all argue about how this is going to work, how long it should last. But the fact of the matter is, it is due to the acts of the government. And so I think it's government's responsibility to help get the citizens through this.
Now, there's one thing about the current proposal that apparently is up in front of the Congress now, today, perhaps tomorrow, and it concerns me a little bit. And I'm just curious if I could get your reaction to it. Congress always wants to put a caveat on this, a caveat on that, special rules and regulations. And apparently there's some level of means testing on whatever they're going to come up with. And they're going to do it, like one in May and then in April and one in May. Should this thing be, is your proposal, does it include means testing or not?
No, it doesn't. And that's a great point you make, Mike. Listen to the arguments right now. Think about how long it's going to take and to determine who is eligible, who isn't eligible, how we're going to deliver this, how we're going to deliver that, who's going to be excluded. This is the way Congress acts. And you know what? It takes too damn long in everything. And there aren't enough people, and frankly, John Carney pointed this out in his column, are some people with my proposal or even his, are there going to be some people who get this money who probably don't need it? Yes. But the fact of the matter is there aren't that many people like that. And It's more important. Yes, there's going to be a little bit of waste there, but it's more important that we get the money out there and we get it quickly. Much more important than some type of protracted means testing debate in Congress.
Yeah, your argument is very compelling, but let me push back here on this. So the hardcore conservatives sometimes, and we see these comments when we've discussed kind of similar proposals, none as bold as yours. But when we look at other proposals, they say, well, this is just the beginning of socialism and you're going to be just like Andrew Yang and people will start, you know, looking for that check and they won't be out there working, trying to fix the problem. What do you say to those critics?
Well, I'm the furthest thing from a socialist, I can tell you that. I understand the concern. Well, you know, when we start something in government, we hardly ever are able to stop it. But this is a special situation. This is a crisis like we haven't seen. This needs to be written into law. That's why I put it in as this temporary income replacement act. Put it into law, put an ending on it, require two-thirds of both houses of Congress to extend it, and I think it can come to an end. But the most important thing right now, again, if we stop and we debate and we wring our hands and we kick the can down the road and we take another month here and another month there, people are hurting. This is a huge liquidity crisis for our country. We need to act. People need to be able to get this money, to have some security, to be able to spend it on the things that they need to spend it on. And again, remember, most people don't have any type of savings, for at least 40%. So, I look, is it perfect? No. Are there risks that it can become more permanent if it's abused by government? Yes. But I think it's worth the risk right now. We need to do this for our citizens.
You know, I don't know if you caught the news today, but late last night, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, put an order out and said, look, everybody except for essential personnel needs to stay home. Stay in your house. That's 40 million people. What are they going to be doing for income these days?
Well, you're right. And, you know, I listened to some people debate, you know, if we're doing the right things. I heard Steve Moore just a few minutes ago on Maria Bartiromo's show talking about, you know, are we overreacting? You know, are we creating even a deeper, more long-lasting problem, understanding the tragedy of the sickness and death, but understanding it. But are we addressing this the right way? Or are we putting ourselves in a position where our economy is going to be so damaged that we're going to have much more heartache down the road? I mean, nobody knows the answer to that right now. But your point is a good one. What are all those people going to do? How long is this going to last? And for them to sit there, for people to be there right now and to not know that their government is going to help them in a time like this. This is what government is for. Help them in a time like this, I think, is unconscionable.
Yeah. So here's the other thing, too. I'd be curious to see. Here's sort of my evolving thought on it. And I'd be curious to see your ideas. And it's similar, I think, to your ideas. Okay, if you're going to do it, do it. Don't mess around. Do it and have the maximum impact with your activity. So I think where we are right now, you know, like 63% of the deaths of coronavirus now, and there's, I don't know, it's 138 out of 217 as we speak today. They're in three states, California, New York, and Washington. And it seems to me that perhaps from a public health point of view, we ought to just shut down as much as we can everywhere for a period of 2 weeks to 30 days. And then that should slow the growth down and then start moving the economy back up and shall we say, letting the chips fall where they may after that. What is your take on this? I know it's hard to do.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea, Mike. And again, I listened to a panel speak recently about you know, the length of the problem with the potential length or the open-ended aspect of the way we're addressing this, and that capitalism can absorb short-term shocks, major short-term shocks. I give you 9/11 as an example. But what it can't survive and what it's not built to do is a long-term, sustained significant decrease in activity. It's just
can't do that.
Very dangerous.
Jeff Webb,
I'm with you. Yeah,
Jeff Webb with a great op-ed at the Washington Times. You can go to WashingtonTimes.com and read it today. Jeff, stay. We'd love to have you back here in the near future to talk more about what's going on. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Stay safe, everybody.
All right. That's Jeff Webb, founder and CEO of Varsity Brands, and also the founder of AmericanPopulist.com, on the web at AmericanPopulist.com. We'll be back after this. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.